B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final hour. We also hit on earlier in the show. We start with some Red Sox thoughts. You can do that if you want. Some Bruins thoughts. You can do that if you want. The plan to return to Gillette Stadium with fans in the stands if the government allows it. Between 13 and 14,000 at Gillette for a Patriots game. You in on that or are you not in on that? I'm in on that. I'm in. Eliminate the people? Keep the product? Like, that's a win for me. People are the problem. Give me less people. All set. So I suddenly want to go to a game at Gillette again.
Still a lot of people, though.
Free parking. I waltz in, I waltz out, and there's one-fifth the amount of people in there? That feels like a win. That feels like suddenly something I'm into. So what do you think? As promised, back to your calls. Here's Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick. Nicholas! Okay, his comment line says, spending on the offensive line. Again, the fifth highest paid offensive line in football. Greg says if they play to their potential, they're worth it. Which I think you can say about a lot of lines, probably. Like, I mean, that's sort of a obvious statement. You know,
their potential, though, is what they reached in 2018 down the stretch, and it's why they won that Super Bowl, ultimately. So, you know, I'm with them there.
So, I mean, that's fair, right? I mean, at least they've put that, they've put that on tape.
They've proved they can do it. It's just there's a lot of, you know, big ass in terms of health there. Like, do we really know if David Andrews can play football ever again, considering what he went through last year?
I just think, look, I mean, all the positions are important, but generally speaking, the tackles are more important than the guards. That's why they get paid more. I mean, that's just been established in football, especially the way the game's played and the passing game and the role of the passing game. And so if their money were at tackle, I'd feel a little bit better about it than it is at guard. That just feels imbalanced to me. But, oh, well, you know, if they block the way they did 2 years ago and the Pats run the ball down people's throats, fine. Okay, fine. Then they're worth it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go.
Well, so this much I know, that if you're going to commit that kind of money to your offensive line, they better play well. They better play well. And again, I'm okay with committing the money there because I think it's a bad spot to be weak. But if you commit that kind of dough and they play poorly, you're porked.
Matt in Weymouth. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going good.
So basically, the whole Cam Newton thing to me is just like a crazy argument. You don't bring in a guy with Cam Newton's attitude and put him on the bench. I think Bill brought him in, especially with Bill, like, he doesn't deal with that kind of stuff. I think Bill brought him in to be, at the very least, you know, a stopgap for a year, potentially two or three, you know, if he stays healthy. I don't think Stidham was Bill's plan from the start at all.
Okay, so, I mean, that first thing, you don't bring in Newton to Stidham. I agree. I don't think they've signed him to sit him. I don't believe in the conspiracy theory that it's to motivate it. I do think they timed it out, Jimmy, to drop at the same time as the Bengals thing. Like, I think that timing is true, but I think it's on the face of it. I just think when he gets here that they're not above looking at the thing and saying, this isn't going to work and you're gone because we've given you no money and we've set up the contract like this. And when they do that, when they set up contracts like that, they do it with the specific purpose of, we're going to take a look and if we don't like it, you're out. And I think Cam Newton could easily fall in that category. Easily. You don't. All right. Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. I just had a question for you on Cam Newton and Bill Belichick. So the last few years, one of the gripes about Bill that we've heard a lot about is, you know, Bill's not fun. He's too set in his ways. He keeps too tight of a leash on guys. So now all of a sudden you bring in Cam Newton who, you know, he's already making YouTube videos talking out of school about a bunch of things that you would normally think Bill wouldn't want him talking about. I mean, you got Bill himself making Subway commercials now. If this thing keeps going in this direction and it's chill Bill from here on out, then if you're, you know, Amendola or Brady or Gronk or any of those guys who, you know, bought in and just grit their teeth and, you know, did what he wanted them to do, like, how come we could be chill now and not then? It just seems like a slap in the face to those guys. What do you think?
Well, that's because spite is now involved. Oh, right. you think I'm a taskmaster and an a-hole, do you? Okay. Oh, and you cried your way out. Okay, Tom, Rob, Danny, I'm going to show you. I'm going to sign the most fun quarterback in the league, and I'm going to let him do basically whatever he wants. Superman, Dap, whatever. He can be Cam Newton. Oh, and I'm also going to be a pitchman for all of the fast food because, Tom, you're so anti-fast food. I will take Subway commercials. I'll do them for McDonald's. I'll do them for KFC. The unhealthier, the better. Oh, I don't care.
The cereal companies, that's a big one. You ever Brady Rail
oh,
about
right.
the cereal?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. You oh, you're anti-Cheerios, huh? Here's Bill Belichick for Honey Nut Cheerios. You know, so I do think that, I'm sorry, I can't help but think that there's some spite involved here with some of these moves and what he sees, how these guys have talked about him towards the end here, and he's just trying to prove that something to them, too.
Brady hates soda, too, right? He really down on soda?
Yeah,
I want Bill to do Coke.
I love it. Brian in Pittsburgh on the Bees. I'll jump him here. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, boys. Hey, two quick points, Mike. So this is going to be the first time, I think, in 10 years that the Bruins are actually going to go into the playoffs with a healthy Patrice Bergeron. That's a good thing. And the second point I had, I read an article on Hockey Speed this morning about Jake DeBrusk not taking a hometown discount. That pissed me off so much because Jake DeBrusk, his potential, he should be a 30-30 guy, and he is just not hitting his potential whatsoever.
Okay, so it's his right to say, I don't want to get a hometown discount. That's fine. You can go maximize your money. I don't begrudge him that whatsoever. I just wouldn't overplay your hand. He's a nice young player. Is there anything special?
No.
I mean, I like it. I thank God something hit from that first round, or else, you know, it'd be a big donut, and so he sort of saved something from that disaster in the first round. And I think he's, you know, I think he's a borderline second line talent. You know, I think, you know, he's, when he's going right, he's a second liner, but not all the time. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think ultimately he might be a third or fourth line guy in the league. He's got to establish himself more. And he got long stretches where he disappears now too.
You I know, mean, that first year in the postseason, he was dynamite. In that Toronto series, I thought he might have been the best player, you know, in that series. He was absolutely terrific. But last year, not as good. And to me, if you could even guarantee that he was going to be worth more in the playoffs, then I think maybe you consider overpaying a little bit. But I need to see it.
Well, you know, before the pandemic, it's so long ago we forgot, but they're trying to figure out what to do with him. They had moved him down to Charlie Coyle's line and taken him away from Krejci because he was just doing nothing. I had to figure him out. And that, you know, he was on his way down. He was on his way down to what I was just talking about before the pandemic. I guess the last couple of days he's been skating next to Krejci, and that's where he'll start. But that's that's one of those guys, a key swing guy for them. Nick in the car, he's back on the offensive line. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, my bad. Bloody mute button. So a couple names that I wanted to throw out there for the reason that they're spending this kind of money. Those names are Aaron Donald, Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, DeForest Buckner, Cam Hayward. Those guys are all in their way of getting to their ultimate goal of getting to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. You need to have something solid up there. You need to defend against those guys because those guys are showstoppers.
Okay, that's a fair point. You look at the schedule and who they're facing, and that's why they have to load up at that position. I just know in the past, Belichick has said, well, we can scheme it up, we can coach it up, and, you know, heck, in the Super Bowl, remember Russ Hochstein? Was it Warren Sapp that called him out? And who was he going, like, so all the years just mushed together. I can't remember who he was even facing, but they've had so many cases where they've had, you know, they've just plugged guys in there, coached them up, schemed it up, and gone against elite talent like you're talking about, and, you know, spent their money elsewhere. And I don't think you want to be spending 25, it's 24 million, not 25, it's 24 million at guard. I just don't think anyone does. And, you know, especially when last draft, they draft a guy, and Bedard was just sort of mentioning these guys, you're drafting Froholt, Kajust, these guys in the third or fourth round. You're drafting guys there. So, you know, they drafted another kid in the sixth round this year at guard, but the guys last year, the reason you're drafting those guys is so you don't have to play Joe Tooney. That's the whole idea, right?
Absolutely right. And again, look, this gets back to the, you know, the overall mismanagement of the cap and the payroll and the draft. It's all tied together because the way you control your payroll is through the draft. You get good players for cheap and they haven't hit.
Matt on Cape Cod on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to start off. The guy who called in from Reading yesterday and said Cam Newton didn't get signed anywhere because of the color of his skin or whatever the hell he was talking about is out of his mind. Cam Newton didn't get signed anywhere because he's on the wrong side of 30 and he's a puss arm. If they think that signing him is going to light a fire under anyone's butt, they're crazy, too. Cam Newton, day one, wanted to hear your thoughts.
Okay. He should light a fire under Jared Stidham's butt. That I believe. and it's energized parts of the locker room. I mean, Cam Newton's he's got a lot of juice with a lot of players in that league.
I mean, the outpouring of support from, you know, guys like Gilmore and James White and the McCourties was immediate.
Yes,
so.
but I think Carr's talking about, you know, lighting a fire. He should light a fire under Stidham.
It already has happened. Notice that the Stidhams haven't posted anything on social media recently.
Oh, no, that's not true. Actually, late last week, I think it was going into the weekend, on his Instagram story, it was basically to let everyone know, hey, I'm back.
The Stidhams, you mean the
Penelope Stidham?
Yeah. The Stidhams.
But has she been quiet too, Jimmy?
As far as I can tell, she's been quiet. I think she was told to knock it off.
Huh.
So I'm curious. The one I'm curious about, if we'll be told to knock off, is old number one there. That's what I want. Has he posted anything in the last 24, 48 hours?
I think another one today that he's working out at UCLA. So at least it's... Well, no, it's not a video. It's just him with, I don't know who the players are, but, you know, he's still working out. That's not a bad thing. It's not
No. Well, these guys, you know, as soon as someone curls a 25-pound weight, they put it online now. Like, look at what I'm doing. It's ridiculous. Like, okay, we get it. You're working out. You're pro athlete. So it's what I expect you to be doing, by the way. But that's a side story. Is it another self-promotional thing with the crazy?
Is it more Cam Newton worried about his image or his actual play?
Huh?
Is Cam Newton more worried about his image or his actual play?
No, I heard the words. I don't get what you're saying. Let's pick this up.
Yeah, that's what you said the first time.
I'm doing it for emphasis.
Okay,
is it more about Cam Newton or is it about the team and the Patriots?
The translation comes your way right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Show some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You think that there's going to be a quarterback competition this summer on the Patriots?
Absolutely.
You think there's a chance that Jared Stidham could beat out Cam Newton for the starting quarterback job?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that they set it up this way, and it's part of the thinking for getting Cam in. All right, so trust me, I'm not one of these guys who's like, oh, well, Belichick can't lose. Cam Newton comes in, and he's better. He makes defenses defend the Patriots better, creates space. All of a sudden, they're better in the passing game. They're better in the running game just because the teams have to account for Cam Newton. Or Jared Stidham, who has been untested at this point, now faces a competition, and in camp, he's lights out and clearly wins the job. And now, all of a sudden, guys like Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore, who they know the score. They're out there on the practice field. They're going to know. If Jared Stidham is better and is beating out Cam Newton, all of a sudden they have confidence that, okay, now Jared Stidham goes into the season having accomplished something more than just beating out Brian Hoyer.
There's a big boy from earlier. You just reject that out of hand, right, Miss?
Well, the part of it that I find unlikely is that all of a sudden you got veteran guys who've been in the league a long time. They're going to look at one camp and say, okay, Jared Stidham's the guy, when you're talking about a talent like Cam Newton. The scenario that Greg paints, and look, he knows the locker room better than I do. I just have a hard time believing it. But the scenario he paints, if it's Andy Dalton, I buy it. I think that a guy like Devin McCourty or Jason McCourty or Gilmore, or whoever else, and I focus on the guys in the secondary, they would look at it and say, yeah, Jarrett's as good as this guy is. I mean, you know, no problem. Let's go with the kid. But Cam Newton, with all the, you know, the hype that comes with Cam Newton and the size and the presence and the athletic ability, all of that, I think that veteran players going to look at that and go, let's not confuse the preseason, especially in the year of a pandemic, with games that actually matter, because they don't.
Do you think that Jared Stidham has the talent to do what Bedard just said? That he comes out and he's lights out. So that, like that's where I sort
not
of...
Not yet.
No. See, I don't think it's a Stidham thing. I think it's a Newton thing. I think Newton's competing against himself. I mean, if Stidham was that lights out and they were that, you know, thought he had that kind of potential, I don't know if Cam Newton would be here.
He wouldn't.
Right? So something happened here with their thinking on Jared Stidham. I just think that...
Doesn't it feel like Stidham did more to lose this job this offseason than people want to admit?
So let's go back to Jimmy now. Yeah. So I love how when he's looking at his phone and delivering his takes, it's when you got to really pay attention. So, okay, let's start with this one. Say it again now.
Hang on, standby.
He's going to look at the appropriate text.
Scroll
his
down.
Initial
okay,
comment. Scroll, oh,
there,
sorry, go.
There we go. Latest text. Stidham did more to lose the job this offseason than people like to admit.
I mean, I believe
I buy that.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Me too. And I don't know what the hell it would be. He snotted on his computer during a Zoom meeting or what?
Like, no, I think, of course, you know what it would be because
he waltzed down to Texas.
You have other quarterbacks, Brady, Russell Wilson, others, you know, practicing their craft, you know, snubbing their nose at the NFLPA. I'm going to practice because I want to be better when the season, if and when the season starts. Jared Stidham went to Texas with his wife.
So,
yeah, I mean, look, maybe he just didn't grab the reins like they thought he would. Maybe they thought, okay, Brady's gone. Here you go. Let's see what the kid does. And like, you know, not to make it the this analogy because it's unfair to Stidham. But once Brady got in there, okay, Brady wasn't going to let go of that job.
Well, and
I mean, go ahead.
And dial it back even before he went to Texas to go to like 9 weddings and just sit around and do nothing. He. If we're going to get on Cam Newton, for him going around acting like he's already got the job, do the same thing to Jared Stidham, who's all out there with eggplant emojis and LFGs to Julian Edelman and others on Instagram, like he already got the job too. So maybe that rubs someone the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't discount, and I think I actually, if I had to bet on it, something happened
closer to the bone there, Jimmy.
Yeah,
Something happened there. Now, what was the thing you said before the break, Jimmy, that needs translation?
Oh, hang on. Standby.
Go scroll down.
I can tell you what it was. I remember. Is Cam Newton more worried about his personality? Is he more worried about his play?
Okay. I'm definitely worried about that thing.
Is Cam Newton more worried about his image or his play?
Yeah.
So there you go. Thing. Same thing. And obviously, how important the image is to him. I mean, to anyone who dresses like that. The image is incredibly important to you. It is, you know, how I present myself and how anyone who's into fashion is about image and about that presentation, that thing. So it's obviously hugely important to Cam Newton. Cam Newton just got fired. He just got fired. And so is he embarrassed? And so is this running around, this campaign on social media, just sort of him trying to save face, cover up. I mean, you know what I mean? The act of a man who's been embarrassed and he's overcompensating now with all this social media crap, man.
So look, it, I think this goes hand in hand because it's one thing to keep telling us that you have a chip on your shoulder. It's another thing to actually have it. So like, and the more I think about it, I do worry about that part of it. Like, okay, fine. You've told me you've got a chip on your shoulder. That's great. I want to see it. And look, the workouts and everything, that's good. But to me, I almost wonder if you're better off. I wonder if when you really have a chip on your shoulder, you are so pissed off, you don't want to talk.
Right.
So that I'm starting to wonder about a little bit. Like, how pissed off are you really? Because you're clearly on, you know, Instagram the whole time and on, you know, YouTube and wherever else. And that's fine. Now, do I believe he is motivated? I think so. I'd like to think so. He basically hasn't played well in a couple of years and the whole league just passed on him. If he's not motivated now, I would tell you that I would start to worry that my career is over if I'm him.
You have a thought there, Murray?
Yeah, I think that the motivation's real. I don't think that it's contrived, and I just think that's the way of the world now. Like, everyone's on social media. I mean, he's still, you know, one caller referred to him as the wrong side of 30. He's, what, 31? He's still a young guy. I mean, that's just part and parcel of being a professional athlete now. You put all your stuff out there. I don't think that he would just be quiet and then come back and be like, ooh, now I'm going to prove everyone wrong. Part of it is the theater of telling everyone I'm going to prove everyone wrong.
Sure, I got it. I just know the way he's carrying himself. I listened to Zoe and Teddy Johnson again in the Zolak and Bertrand program this afternoon. It's like they're listening to it. They're watching it, and they're saying, I don't know if this is going to work. Because they know it, and I think fans, you know, I just...
Again, they're used to grump Bill. Bill doesn't put up with that kind of crap, Bill. I think it's new spite Bill that also wants to prove... I really believe this.
I love it.
To Tom Brady, specifically, and Rob Gronkowski. Oh, Oh, you think I won't put up with that? I'm gonna hire Cam Newton to be my new quarterback to replace you, bitch boy, down in Tampa now, because you were bitchy at the end too, Tom. And I'm going to let him do whatever he wants. And I'm going to be a pitch man for Subway now, too.
Part two.
Oh, you think you can sell crap? I'll sell crap that you think is actually offensive to people that they shouldn't be putting in their bodies.
So I love it. Again, I keep saying I will entertain that storyline. I'll fan the flames of it. No problem. It's entertaining. I actually think it's going to be the other way. I think Bills and someone's going to reach out to Cam Newton and his people and tell them to calm down. Settle down. You know, enough. We got it. All right. We're going to slow down the hype train a little bit. We're going to ignore the noise and not hype ourselves up on big, you know, like all that. I think there's going to be, that would be my guess. You know, can you put a sock in it? There's going to be some of that. And then how does Cam Newton respond? Like the whole response thing is great too. You know, if Newton's not getting first team reps, how does he respond to that? After pumping his chest, you know, after just this whole thing, well, the going after necks and like, you know, acting like he's the man and he's ready to go and he's ready to take over. What if he gets in early in camp and he's not even with the first team?
And that's why they have to allow some sort of media access, even if they got to be in the Hill, because we need to know that kind of thing.
Exactly. Pouting, hey, helmet off, like, yeah, like, give me all that. Oh, I need all of that, Murray. Yeah. Exactly.
Cam's out there working with Gunnar Olszewski and Jacoby Myers. Like, you need to know that kind of thing.
Exactly. I love it. All right. Yes, Maz?
I was just going to say, as you say that, I wonder, what does it tell us more? Does it tell us more if Cam Newton's with the first team or if he's not? Like right out of the gate, what is more revealing there? Because if he's with the first team, then it tells you the Patriots just discount all of this stuff and they just believe he's going to steamroll everyone else in camp when he gets out there.
Okay, if you want to give us a call on this, your last segment to do it is now, 617-779-0985. First, Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And as promised, here calls to wrap it up. We talked about Red Sox earlier. Got a few of those on the board. We'll get to that. Also want to just reset my thought on the Joe Tooney decision from today. But Robin Framingham wants to talk about Jared Stidham. Go ahead, Rob.
I think you guys are wrong. I think Jared Stidham lost his job because he did more wrong. How about hiring an MVP to take over for a guy that's probably a year out?
So I don't think Bill cares about the fact that Cam Newton's an MVP. I think Bill liked the contract, Rob. If that MVP was...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, right? I mean, if that MVP was going to cost you $10 million, you think Cam Newton would be here?
Nope.
So it's about the contract. About the contract as much as it is the player, so don't delude yourself.
Yeah, upside on the cheap.
Yeah, that's the Patriot way, right? How about these 7:30 Red Sox starts? Week from Friday, they kick off 7:30. Even though we're all mostly home, we're all ready to watch earlier ball games, the matinee games, maybe get some more kids in front of the TV. And instead of making the games earlier, the Sox are actually going to make the games later.
I'll be drunk by 7:30.
How do you like that? Matt and Bill Ricca, your thoughts?
I just want to say that I personally will not watch a game that starts after 7 p.m. You guys chose money over the fan, and I just had enough.
So
I just don't want to see it anymore.
Honestly, do you really believe you'll follow through with that?
I mean, I will try. You know, I might not, but, you know, I'm kind of pissed. You know, I just wish that, you know, they would have started at 6 or 6:30.
Wait, at least you're being honest, Matt. You know, you'll try to.
Yeah.
And you'll fail.
It's not a big game, but you'll watch.
Yeah, you'll watch.
Didn't take him long to cave.
<Yeah, no. laughs> So the thing is, it's like, look, I can rail about all these things, and I have. I'll rail about the fake crowd noise, which I think is insanely stupid and insipid. I'll rail about the 7:30 starts, which are just ridiculous. They should be going the other way. I'll rail about the length of the games. I'll rail about all these things. I'm going to watch every second. It's not going to prevent me from watching. I'll rail against a bad team broadcaster, a bad national broadcaster, bad broadcast quality, a channel that I can't find on the the 925. What the hell is that? I'll rail about all these things. I watch everything. And especially now, I'm so freaking horny for sports, Maz. I found myself lapsing into watching a little bit of the Ninja Warrior thing. On you know, they play the Best of Felger Maz Hour at 8 o'clock, and then at 9 there's a Ninja Warrior thing.
Yeah.
I find myself hanging in there for a couple seconds. I know the course now.
I've watched that with my kids.
This is how stupid horny I am. So, like, I'll rail about the 7:30 start. Oh, I'm watching it. I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah, any of these sports can say to you and anyone else that's horny for sports and wants it back badly, what else are you going to do?
What else?
Yeah, well, seriously, that guy who said he wouldn't watch it, like, I think he's already exhausted the database of Netflix. Like, so what else has he gone through? I'm sure he's exhausted Hulu on top of it.
Well, and you know, these networks are gay. ESPN is going to start running concerts. They ran the Eagles the other night. I'm like, good. Right,
that didn't make a lick of sense.
Good call. I loved it. I watched it.
It was nice, but it's like ESPN.
Yeah. Well, what the hell else are you going to do? Like, I mean, the KBO's in the middle. I mean, what else are you going to do? So start running concerts. I like that. My old Palladial channel. My old
Palladium.
Is it Palladium? Is that what they call it?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Oh, they went to MTV Live, and now it's like music videos. I need my concert videos back. So if ESPN wants to do it, fine. So anyway, this is all a long way of saying, I'll take anything. Whatever time it starts, I'll take it. But they should not be starting at 7:30. Paul in Hopkinton on our conversation about Jackie Bradley Jr. earlier. You know he's having a good camp, Paul.
Yeah, I saw Buster Olney had an article on ESPN past the paywall that he was the ninth best center fielder in baseball. And in the written description, it said, well, if he learns to hit like he did in the 2018 postseason, where he won the ALCS MVP for getting two hits in the whole series.
Three.
I'm so sick of, this is the year. This is the year he breaks through with this hitting. He is the worst, and I can't believe in all the salary cap, or not salary cap, but money-cutting things, we decided to keep him. It's just so bad, so offensive. I really hate it.
Thank you. Excellent point. $15 million for a guard is offensive, as is over $10 million for a guy who hits 238, or whatever it is, whatever the actual number is.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think that was his career average is actually 236. I'm giving him too much credit.
This write-up on him is kind of hysterical, that he's placed in the top 10 of Buster Olney's center fielders. Mike Trout, of course, is number one, but Jackie Bradley at number nine. Some rival executives were surprised by Red Sox's decision to tender him a contract, especially at a time when the Red Sox are working to reduce payroll. But he's a good outfielder who plays the weird angles of Fenway Park as well as anyone ever has, and he's shown signs in the past of being a better offensive player, such as in the 2018 postseason. And that's all it really has to say.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what, that whole thing in the 2018 postseason, tell me that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about modern baseball. He went 3-for-15. He hit 200, but he also drew a few walks, and his hits were a double and two homers. So his OPS was over 1,000. He hit 200, but his OPS is over 1,000, which is all they care about now. Again, you can get three hits. You can fail in 80% of the at-bats. But if those three hits count, you're a superstar.
Maz, the world could come to an end. The pandemic could wipe out life as we know it. Civilization could come to a grinding halt, and people are still going to overrate Jackie Bradley.
Absolutely. They'll still be waiting for him to bust out any minute now.
Nothing's going to get in the way of that. Jack in Brockton. Hi, Jack.
Hey, guys. Great show. Just a very quick thought on Cam Newton and Bill. If Cam Newton succeeds, Bill wins. If Cam Newton fails, Stidham comes in. Then maybe he does well, maybe not. But if he does not, Bill has a future with Subway. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Says Bill can't lose. The whole thing, that, you know, the way it will play out on the team and on the field, Maz, is, you know, whatever happens, he's going to get credit for it, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, all by design. I mean, again, if it ends up being Hoyer's the third guy in, or they plug in the kid that the caller called about yesterday, what's his name, Jamar?
I've already forgotten.
Okay, from like Louisiana Tech or something, or that complete stiff from Michigan State, Brian Lewerke.
Yeah.
Or Lewerke or Lewerke, whatever it is. He needs Lewerke is what he needs. that guy is the worst quarterback I've ever seen on tape. I'm not joking. Okay, I saw the video of him, the YouTube highlight video. He blows. But that aside, whatever it is, Bill will. He'll get the credit for it. And see, I would say Bill wins as long as they win. no matter what happens at quarterback, whether it's Cam Newton, whether it's Jarrett Stidham, or even Hoyer, if they go 10-6, 11-5, and I think the ceiling with Newton is even higher than that, then Bill's going to come out smelling like roses. He absolutely will.
So I'm sorry, I was just fiddling around with this, the Jackie Bradley thing. I'm just trying to, you know, find power rankings, center field power rankings. 2019 Fangraphs, which is the lead. So I guess it was March of 19. So it was before last year. Well, anyway, so it does include last year, but they go center field rankings by team. So the Angels are still number one, even though Michael Hermosillo, I don't know, he's the backup there, got 42 plate appearances, but that's Trout's so good that Angels are number one. The Brewers were number two. It was Lorenzo Cain. Yelich got some at-bats at center, so they were two. Number three was the Yankees. Aaron Hicks, Brett Gardner, Jacoby Ellsbury. Number four was the Rays, Kevin Kiermaier, and then some others. And number five, your Boston Red Sox and Jackie Bradley. Number five. And again, this was going into last year, but, and you know how they do it, Maz. It's based on WAR.
Ugh.
And Jackie Bradley's WAR going into last year was 3.1, which I don't know. They consider pretty good, or I don't know, ranked him fifth in the league.
Where's the Dodgers? Where's the Astros with George Springer?
Thank you. Very good. Very good. So the Dodgers were sixth. Cody Bellinger. The Pirates are seven. Sterling Marte. Athletics were eight with this Ramon, pronounce his last name.
Oh, that's the kid with the cannon.
The cannon in center, that guy. Remember him?
Maz, who's that?
The kid? Oh, isn't it like Laureano?
Laureano, yeah. You got it.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a hose.
It's right in front of me. I didn't feel like saying the name and butchering it, but it is Laureano. So they were eight. Springer and the Astros were nine. So they just put too much on the defense, Maz.
Well, and the other thing I'll tell you is that last year I didn't think Bradley was, and this is, you know, nobody remembers it. I didn't think he was all that great defensively last year. I'm looking at the same site you are now. I'm on Fangraphs. Among center fielders that played 500 innings, and that 500 innings isn't a ton, okay? Bradley was 18th in defense. 18th. So, like, I just think even that gets overrated. He doesn't hit consistently. In fact, he really doesn't hit at all, except for that one stretch every year for about a month where he gets ridiculously hot and hits everything, which is great. And then the rest of the, listen, and I'm not trying to diminish what he is in the outfield. He's an excellent center fielder. Okay. But even last year, I thought he slipped a little, and yet everybody still talks every year like he's ready to bust out.
What, because
it blows me away.
Well, it's not just that. Did you see that catch? That's what it comes down to. He, you know, his spectacular plays out there are so stellar, and they stick with you, and so you overrate the player based on a couple of highlight plays.
And that happens in every sport, but especially happens in baseball. Because really, how many highlight reel plays a year do you get? Let's say it's a half dozen.
Half dozen.
One a month. One play a month.
And it's got to be in a game that helps you win the game. So it's
right,
like,
and a lot of them are in the third inning. Okay, so how many do you really have that you say completely alter the course of a game? Three? Half of those? Maybe one every 2 months you get this great highlight reel play that completely alters the outcome of a game. And you say, now that was special. And that, you know, fine. But at the end of the day, you're not, you know, it's really not that much of an advantage at that position as having a guy out there who's just good. Remember, they won World Series with Johnny Damon in center field and with Jacoby Ellsbury in center field. And I don't think either one of those guys was exceptional defensively.
Well, so this is how we began the day. Baseball. Actual baseball. Which is a precursor to what returns to 98.5 The Sports Hub on Monday. T-minus two more real days before you poor guys got to do some real work. Which is at 6.
Murray and Jimmy Stewart are very happy about this, by the way.
I am. I'm thrilled baseball season back. I love baseball. I'm 39. I love baseball. I'm the exception on the show.
Murray,
how about you?
I look every day for, you know, the spikes to say, you know, the like, no, we can't have baseball. The COVID's too out of control. And sorry, guys, no baseball, no baseball reporters, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, it's you know that Jimmy Stewart motto, welcome to 2020, where every day is a little worse than the one before it?
Yeah.
Wait till we get to next week.
It's about to get better. It's about to sports. The baseball reporters is returning, which means baseball is returning, which means sports is returning. I think it's all good, especially because I don't have to work that 6 to 7 hour.
It'll actually be good because it'll really give me something to root against because they have... Well, no, and Maz explained this too, and here's what annoys me. This team, the Red Sox, the 2020 Red Sox, should have no business sniffing the playoffs, but because of their lineup, they will. And considering how their offseason went with the cheating and how they dealt with Mookie Betts and the continued lying to the fan base, oh, F them. They shouldn't even be sniffing the playoffs this year, and they will.
Never mind their four-hour games that now start a half hour later.
Right.
Add that to the list.
So spitefully, I'll have something to root against.
Okay, so we're good.
Oh, they got a shot.
The division. They're going to have a deep playoff run, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to win an MVP. Think of that.
I mean, they open with the Orioles, and then they play the Mets. And I know the Mets were decent last year. I think they were like 86 and 76 or something like that. They're still the Mets. Like, the Red Sox could easily start out 5-2.
We'll do this tomorrow because there's so few games.
Yeah, scheduled day.
Win. That's a loss. We could easily
do that.
They
can do it by series.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, we'll think of that as we ramp up to baseball and, more importantly, the baseball reporters. But next is the final word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Murray.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Well, in case you missed that preview of sorts of the baseball reporters in the prior segment, Tony Maz let it be known today that he's already had it with the Red Sox Jackie Bradley Jr. in 2020, and that is before the first pitch has even been thrown.
There is one player who people are looking at the bright side of as well that is already crawling up your tailpipe, as we like to say.
So look, again, even in a pandemic, it never ceases to amaze me the love that Jackie Bradley Jr. gets. So if you've been following the coverage at all, and I don't know how many people have been able to really invest in it, and I don't blame them if they can't. It's been an unusual time and a hard time. But Jackie Bradley, in case you care, shocker of all shockers, is having a great camp.
Oh, sure.
Wow. There's a stunning development. And so now I find myself saying, this is unbelievable. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I'm still getting this tremendous level of hype concerning Jackie Bradley. The manager's talking about him and Benintendi, but let's stick with Bradley. Jackie Bradley's having a great spring. So what? Now look, in one breath, I would tell you, if there was ever a player built for a 60-game season, it's Jackie Bradley Jr. in the batter's box, the offensive part of his game. Because we know that somewhere along the line, he'll have a good month. And everybody will think that he can reproduce that over the course of every month and have this magical season, which he has never, ever had. So this year, instead of having a 1-in-6 chance of having that month, he's now got a 1-in-2 chance, which means the odds have gone up. Who knows? Maybe Jackie Bradley actually has a pretty good season because he only has to play 60 games. My money says that he's still going to hit .238. That's what I think. But the hype on Jackie Bradley, again, it's like coming out my ears already. I'm sick of the Jackie Bradley hype.
It's great. It is like, yeah, that is a return to normalcy. Right. Ranting and raving about people overhyping Jackie Bradley, which hasn't even really happened yet.
I don't think I've seen.
No, but you know what? Like, just go with it. Just go with it. I mean,
this is the real value of the Red Sox returning. We could all direct our anger towards the Red Sox.
Exactly. Whether they deserve it or not, just rip the Red Sox. It's a failsafe.
And by this point, if you're calling into the show, you already know you have to hold your phone like a pizza. But in case you didn't know, there are other rules, and here's a reminder on those.
Frank in Framingham, what do you got?
Yeah, two things. One of the storylines that I'm disappointed being kind of brushed under the rug during COVID is the animosity towards the Astros and how the pitchers are going to treat them. Then the other thing, I'm interested to see whether or not you think pitchers will go on short rest due to the short schedule.
Okay, so I think, the first thing first, Well, the only thing you're going to miss is the crowd noise, is the crowd getting on the Astros, which was going to be good, too. You know, they'd have to walk into every city, every park.
And the signage and all that, like, that would have been fun. At the bottom of a brawl pile, I kind of like the idea of it, but, you know, I
just wonder whether players will have the appetite for it amid social distancing.
Well, and what was the second thing he said?
I don't remember.
I can never get two things in my head. It's so annoying. I got to read. Whenever you say two.
Oh, pitchers on short rest.
Oh, pitchers on short rest. I think just the opposite. I think these guys are going to be babied more than ever. Don't you?
I'd say because of the short ramp up time, I wouldn't expect anything to happen here in the early part of the year. And you know, I'll tell you, that's another thing that's bugging me about this whole spring training. I've heard people say, well, they've had the gym in 3 weeks, but it usually takes six. No, it should take three. That's about what it would take. What they used to do is stretch it out to six.
To make it a bigger deal than it really was, but you shouldn't need more than 3 weeks to get ready. That's plenty.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen, and then I'm going to have to write it down. And then after we write it down, we have to go back and consult the list to figure out what the other two or three things are, because I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head. So we prefer just a single thought. It's really true.
One thought.
I got 3 points. Oh, yeah. Would you please? Let's just pick the best one. Call back later for the other two.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.